Talk of the Head Games Radio on Sports Bylines Network and Sirius Satellite Channel 122. We had a fantastic show yesterday with Len Dawson, Sam Huff, and Jim Kelly. We also covered the NBA with Rick Bucher in the first half hour. Today, we're going to build on Tuesday morning quarterback theme coming up with Ron Jaworski, who I believe helps explain the game better than anybody out there in the country. We're going to talk about that in detail. And we're going to use some of the insights from Jim Kelly and Len Dawson about this culture in the NFL where very few teams allow quarterbacks to make their own decisions, to call their own plays at the line of scrimmage the way a Len Dawson did, the way a Johnny Unitas did, the way even a Jim Kelly did, or a Terry Bradshaw. It's been so long, and why do we admire certain quarterbacks like a Peyton Manning, like a Tom Brady? Because they have that capacity to do that. Here's Jim Kelly about the unique situation he had in Buffalo when a guy named Marv Levy, who's going to join us in the last segment today, let him turn it loose with that so-called no-huddle offense.
When I called my own plays, it's funny because I think the person that told me, Bradshaw, said before myself called, he said he was the last one. I don't know how often you called your own plays, Lenny. Did you call your own plays a lot, too?
Yeah, I call a lot of plays.
Yeah, that's what and I don't understand why they don't do more of that, because for me, I knew where I wanted Andre Reed. I knew where I wanted James Lofton. I knew that Andre Reed was so much better of a receiver when he was inside than he was outside. And Lofton had the long legs, the big stride on the outside. He wasn't quite as quick in the inside. So I knew where to put these players. I knew exactly where to put them and what plays to call. And that's why, you know, my hat goes off to Coach Levy, because if it wasn't for him having enough confidence in me to let me call all my own plays, because you can understand, his job security was on the line, too. If I screw up, it was his job, too. So he allowed me to do that, but I'll tell you what, I wouldn't have done it if I knew I didn't have number 34 in the backfield and Andre Reed in the outside, James Lofton, a couple Hall of Famers, and, of course, one of the keys to our whole offense was our center, Ken Hall, making all those calls. So I was very fortunate. I was surrounded with a lot of great players, but again, I knew what plays I wanted, and when I watched the Bills play or some other teams, certain downs and distance during the course of the game, I know that I wouldn't want to take a chance on a third down in three or four. I'd rather run a draw play or hand it off when they think you're going to pass and you want to take a chance of getting sacked and getting knocked out of field goal range. Certain times during a game, I knew what I wanted. I had a feel for it, and I'm sure Lenny would tell you the same thing.
That's Jim Kelly. We're going to go into that in more detail as we come back in the second segment with Ron Jaworski and Marv Levy in the last segment. Coming up, we're going to do a little baseball hot stove talk with Jim Beatty, former two-time general manager for the Montreal Expos, the Baltimore Orioles, and get our update on baseball. You're listening to Head Games Radio on Sports Bylines Network and Sirius Satellite Channel Channel 122.
Keep the adventure in your travels, not your drinking water. Go ahead, take the road less traveled, because now you can have purified drinking water anytime, anywhere, just by packing a simple 8-ounce tool. SteriPen is compact, chemical-free, and kills over 99.99% of all unhealthy organisms in your drinking water within seconds. SteriPen is simple to use, so you can enjoy the journey and the drinking water. Available at REI stores everywhere or go to REI.com. SteriPen, safe drinking water anywhere.
Hi, everybody. This is Nick Lowry, and I want to tell you about the most beautiful golf course I've ever played. It's called Quintero. It's already ranked in the top 10 in the country as a real estate golf course. I'm telling you, it is the most outstanding combination of beautiful fairways and views you will ever see. If you want to join one of the most outstanding new private courses in the country, go to QuinteroGolf.com or call 888-417-8468. That's 888-41-QUINT or 888-417-8468. This is Nick Lowry, and I'm here to tell you about HeadGamesRadio.com, the official website of Head Games Radio. If you can't listen to the show every day, just go to HeadGamesRadio.com and join the Head Games team. You get to listen to Head Games highlights from our superstar guests. As a member, you'll be entitled to exclusive offers and information, so register with us so we can send you updates and special giveaways that non-members just can't get. Stay tuned. Check out HeadGamesRadio.com. Email us and join the Head Games family.
When other people say, sorry, sold out, Tickets Now says, where would you like to sit? from the 50-yard line to orchestra seats to courtside. Tickets Now has the best seats for the biggest events. Go to TicketsNow.com today and select from the largest selection of premium seats for every major sports, concert, or theater event in North America. Available now at TicketsNow.com. That's TicketsNow.com.
Available now from Doubleday Books. Real baseball, baseball's golden era, the way America witnessed it, in the movie newsreels. Author Les Krantz brings a celebration of the golden age of baseball through the movie house newsreels that once presented the game's great plays and players to fans across the country. Real Baseball is an enchanting look back at baseball from 1932 to 1965. This handsomely illustrated volume, with a foreword by Hall of Fame catcher Yogi Berra, traces the seminal role of newsreels in making baseball the national pastime before television brought the game into houses across America. This book also includes a one-hour DVD that features the most thrilling moments from original newsreels hosted by baseball great Joe Garagiola. Stay tuned to Sports Byline USA Broadcast Network for your chance to win a copy of Real Baseball by Les Krantz from Doubleday. Available now wherever books are sold.
Yes, I was fired. It happens to most coaches. Well, what are you going to do? Are you going to just lie there in the fetal position and whimper?
That was Marv Levy, who's joining us in the last segment today on Head Games Radio, now a general manager with Buffalo, and certainly he's going to have a lot of new information about the transition, changing that culture, and it's not just about the quarterback. As Bubby Brister and Len Dawson said a couple days ago, you've got to have a surrounding cast. When Bubby Brister went from the New York Jets to a Denver Broncos, he went from a team that had several outstanding talents to a team that seemed to have Pro Bowlers everywhere. Makes a huge difference. Well, the New York Yankees, as one example of a team that certainly can entertain the thought of changing wholesale their entire team, in particular their pitching, they're looking at that too. How can they surround themselves with the right kind of talent? And helping us look through the free agency market, the hot stove talk this offseason, is Jim Beatty. Jim, how are you?
Hey, Nick. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. Well, let's start off with before we get to the Yankees, with Matsusaka, that's how you pronounce it, and the fact that the Boston Red Sox looks like they have stood up and made the big offer. What do you think is going to happen if they're able to land him? Wouldn't that have been someone the Yankees would want?
Oh, I think it definitely, given the, especially when they've already got, Matsu in the outfield, it would be a nice little match for them. The Yankees are very big in Japan. And maybe this is kind of the Red Sox chance to plant the Red Sox nation flag in Japan. So they're going to spend some money to try to do that. And maybe it's in an environment where the Red Sox feel they can pay back that money just by doing more marketing of their team as the Yankees do in Japan. So it might be really an investment that pays itself back very quickly. But I think that's a guy, the Red Sox need that number one again, and there are people that think this guy is at very least a number three starter and could very possibly be a number one. He's only 26. He's got a long way to go, but to spend the reported $42 million just to get a chance to negotiate, say you sign him for 5 years for 50, which I don't see happening. I think it's going to be a larger contract than that. You've already got close to $100 million invested in the guy for, well, probably 5 or 6 years, unless they, depending on how they structure the contract.
He's something like 26, 27, so at least you're not signing a veteran pitcher at 34, 35 who may not have that longevity.
Well, that's true. I mean, he's a year younger than Johan Santana. But at the same time, he is a guy that there's lots of questions. I mean, can he come over here and have the success that he had over there? I mean, hitters have shown that they can do it. Pitchers, are they going to be able to do it? And they haven't had a lot of success. There have been a couple guys that have come over, but I'm sure the Yankees, the last one they were thinking about was Hideki Arabu, who I also had in Montreal, and he certainly didn't turn out to be anything close to what they're hoping for.
Well, here's something you said last week. When we were talking about the calculations that teams are making when a Roger Clemens is available, is 5-6 innings enough? Here you added your comments about the situation the Yankees are staring at.
From experienced conversations with the Yankees, they allow a lot of their players to travel on their own. Now, Roger takes that a little bit further, and at least with Houston, is on the bench for home games and when he pitches on the road. So he changes around a little bit, but I think you do a check with your players on your club if you're going to get in that situation, and you say, how do you guys feel about that? And I think by and large, most players respect what Roger Clemens has done. Now, if you're a guy that's got 3 or 4 years in the big leagues and you want to do that, it's not going to happen. So,
Jim, looking at Wang, Pavano, Johnson, Mussina, there is a tremendous amount of potential change on this Yankees staff. We all know that was the big weakness. What do you see happening?
Well, I think what they've been trying to do, they traded Jared Wright to the Orioles. I think they're trying to clear some of those guys off. They picked up a guy that's going to help their bullpen. So I think they're positioning themselves to throw some money at some free agent pitchers. Wong really is the only guy that they can count on. Mussina's still a free agent, still negotiating. I expect him to sign back, but Mussina at this point is still a number four starter, so they've got to get some better pitching out there. If they could get one free agent pitcher, that may not even be enough for them. So they may be looking at two to bring in. Johnson, with his back surgery, getting older, was certainly fallible this year. So I would expect that they're going to be in the market for one at least big pitcher as a free agent.
Which one would you pick between Schmidt and Zito?
Oh, I think I'd go with Zito. I think he'd be a nice complement to the pitchers that they have. I think Zito has put up innings, has had very little problems with health. Schmidt has had some problem with health off and on, and I think probably for me that's the determining factor. Schmidt is more of a power pitcher when he's healthy, but again, coming from the National League into the American League, Zito is a guy that has pitched well in the American League, knows the league, and I think he's probably more of a sure bet. And as I said, with the type of pitchers that you have elsewhere in that lineup, a left-hander like Zito would be a nice complement.
Okay, shifting over to competition with Detroit, most people believe they've got the young pitching. They've got the young players. They're going to be more mature. They will be more battle-hardened. And then you've got Gary Sheffield coming over to his old manager. That's got to be a huge benefit for Detroit.
Well, I think that was a big pickup for Detroit. I think Detroit, when you get in that situation, you see yourself so close, they can certainly say that they might only be one player away. They've got everybody lined up about where they want to. I think probably the one place that they, I believe, would feel a little more comfortable is in their closer. They had Todd Jones, who is getting a little long in the tooth. Could do the job again, but they have some power arms in that bullpen. They have some power arms in the starting rotation. And they've got some young players, both in the outfield, infield, that are getting better. Pudge Rodriguez, again, another guy getting a little long in the tooth. They're looking at probably a two-year window where they've got to get it done with the players that they have. And I think that they went out and got Sheffield. They gave up three young pitchers in order to do that, but certainly that is a bat in the middle of the lineup. Again, if Sheffield stays healthy, that's going to be a big boost to that that lineup.
And what about the Mets with their aging pitching staff and injuries right when they needed them the most? What do you see them doing? Do you think they're able to be agile enough, like the Red Sox, to keep competitive with these top teams?
Well, I think once you get that taste, and I think people in New York are excited about the Mets again, I think you got to keep it going. I know Omar Minaya is going to be very aggressive out there. I expect them to be a big player in those starting pitchers as well. They've got their closer. They've got their bullpen that they can put together fairly well. So I think with all their young players and some of the more veteran players like a Delgado, who didn't ask for a trade after being traded in the middle of a multi-year contract, he wants to stay there. So I think their club sits up pretty well with one or two starting pitcher additions. If they keep Glavin and they add one of those pitchers that are free agents out there, then I think they're going to be feeling pretty good about what they've done in the offseason. Not a lot of things to do, but they're also taking a look at, 3 years from now, moving into a new stadium. So all of that plays into external things off the field, play into what you're trying to do with your club to set it up. They want that new stadium to be packed. They want it to be sold out. They want it to be sold out, all the suites. all the advertising, all the sponsorships and everything all set. So for the next couple of years, they have their new TV station, their cable station coming on board. So for the next couple of years, I expect the Mets to be approaching what the Yankees have done and maybe very close in payroll.
Hey, Jim Beatty, thanks for joining us. Next time, let's have a little fun. Let's turn the other side of the coin and look at some of the small market teams like the Marlins, the Twins, who came so close, the Kansas City Royals, and look at what the real talent in a general manager would be, which is finding a way with a small payroll to get it done. Thanks for joining us today, my friend.
There you go, Nick. Have a great day. Take care.
Appreciate it, Jim. That's Jim Beatty, two-time general manager. Going to be a third one soon, I'm sure. We'll be right back with Ron Jaworski talking about quarterbacks and those that can think independently and strategically. You're listening to Head Games on Sports Byline Network and Sirius Channel 122.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic getaway? Well, how about 3 days and two nights in Las Vegas? And what about you don't pay a dime for it? That's right. Act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas's newest five-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge, stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on, you know you deserve it. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. So stop what you're doing and call the special toll-free number, 866-50-GO-WIN. Oh, and as a bonus, if you call right now, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 866-50-GO-WIN for all the exciting details. That's 866-50-GO-WIN. Call now.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There is a tremendous price war among the major term life companies, and you may be paying too much. Consider these possible rates. A man, age 45, non-tobacco user, issue preferred, $1 million of coverage, is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man, age 50, non-tobacco user, issue preferred, can obtain $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $113, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, guaranteed level rates for the next 20 years. If you're a smoker, there are great rates available for you as well. Termbusters specializes in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more. So call this number now for a free quote.
800-430-6715. 800-430-6715. Call 24-7. 800-430-6715. 800-430-6715.
Hi, I'm Robert Wagner with an important message for homeowners 62 years or older. If you own a home, you may be able to pay off your current mortgage or access the equity in your home without making any monthly loan payments. That's right, no monthly loan payments. A U.S. government-insured reverse mortgage allows you to convert the equity in your home into cash, giving you the financial independence you deserve. The tax-free proceeds won't affect Social Security or Medicare benefits, and you can use the money for almost any purpose you desire. The Senior Lending Network program has prepared a free educational video that explains how a reverse mortgage works, how to qualify, and how you can supplement your income without any monthly loan payments. If you're a homeowner 62 years or older, your free video is waiting. So call now.
For a free educational video from the Senior Lending Network on reverse mortgages, call 800-995-4280. 800-995-4280.
Senior Lending Network is a program by Mortgage Warehouse, a licensed mortgage banker, New York State Banking Department. Callers' information will be shared with lenders who are members of the program. Consult your tax advisor regarding tax implications.
There's 95 guys or 97 doing the right thing the right way, and two or three jerks. So two or three jerks get 97% of the attention.
Join Head Games Radio. Call 800-878-PLAY. That's 800-878-7529. And now, here's your host, Nick Lowry.
Sports Byline. Ron Jaworski, the professor, how are you?
Nick, how are you, my friend?
So who are you breaking down today?
Right now, I just completed the Bengals defense, or lack thereof, and that dynamic San Diego offense. I mean, it was like watching the old American Football League games, man. It was a quarterback.
Lance
dream.
Allworth, I think, was out there. I think I saw him.
Yeah, he may have been there. I think he caught a couple from Philip Rivers himself.
I think he did. And Philip Rivers has turned into let's get to the argument, and we're going to have a quote from Steve Young, who was very impressed with your comments from last time about young quarterbacks. And let me ask you this. It is very difficult for a general manager to hold on to any number one draft pick for a year, let alone two. San Diego sits on Philip Rivers for 2 years. Drew Brees allowed them the luxury of doing that. But still, it's been pretty impressive to see the lesson learned from giving a guy the chance to learn the system, understand everything, understand the speed of it, and then put him in like they did with Philip Rivers this year.
Yeah, there really are two schools of thought, Nick. You know, there are some that are successful inserting the quarterback immediately, much like Peyton Manning did when he went to the Indianapolis Colts. He has started every game there since his rookie year. Then you see the success of maybe a Steve McNair when he first came in the league. You know, he didn't start immediately. Jeff Fisher brought him along. You see the success now of Philip Rivers, where he sits for a couple of years and learns a game from a wily old veteran like Drew Brees. Not only learns the game, he learns the system. He learns how to be a professional. He learns how to prepare. He learns how to study. All those things come into play. Maybe I'm a little bit old school in this, but I think a quarterback needs that little bit of time to breathe after that collegiate career to the NFL career. It's a quantum leap from collegiate football to the National Football League. So I think a quarterback needs that time to kind of chill out and understand what it's going to take to be successful at the NFL level.
Ron, also, don't you think it helps to have a head coach like a Marv Levy or coming up here, or in this case, Marty Schottenheimer, who also, beyond the system, teaches the quarterback how to be a leader?
No, I think that's paramount to the position. You know, I mean, the quarterback is eventually going to become the face of a football team. How he acts becomes the characteristic of a football team. So clearly, you know, that's the most important position on the football team. And I'm not saying that because I played it for 17 years. You know, you can ask people from every other facet of the game, and they will tell you, if you don't solve your problems at quarterback, you'll never be successful long term. And if you make a mistake at the quarterback via a trade or in the draft, it sets you back from 3 to 5 years. So that's why it's so critical when you're looking at a quarterback, you not only evaluate his ability to throw a football, to throw it accurately, to read coverage, the intelligence, but the leadership skills. You know, is he the type of guy that can rally a football team either two ways, one by example or just the way that he carries himself?
Here's Steve Young talking about the same thing. Which young quarterback can get it done, can learn that system and the speed he has to make decisions?
Recall. It's like you call the play. You don't have to think about what the play is. You don't have to think about necessarily that there's motion or that there's a protection issue or anything else. It all just comes out. And then now you can focus on the defense, because that's the key. Can I get to a point where I have a handle on all of my offensive needs, everybody and every position, every player, every read, now I can focus on the 11 guys. Most young quarterbacks never truly see the defense. They know that there's guys roaming around. They have a sense of it. They might see a safety here or a corner here. But they're so engrossed in trying to figure out to get the playoff and get the motion done and get the ball snapped and make their reads that a lot of times young quarterbacks will drop back and throw the football. And you'll say to yourself watching the game, how could he possibly do that? Because his mind is so far behind the play.
That's Steve Young, and let's stick with this. Philip Rivers, and we look at Vince Young and his learning curve, and Ben Roethlisberger, who's taken a step back. Let's jump over to Roethlisberger. I mean, we know the physical challenge of concussions. I'm sure you probably had a couple concussions, Ron.
Far too many, Nick.
Well, I acted like I had a few myself, but with Roethlisberger, you know, I've taken Bill Cowher to task, not because he isn't one of the best coaches in the NFL, but just because I thought Charlie Batch, you know, given the decision, do I want to risk this guy's career? Ben Roethlisberger has been the most successful young quarterback maybe in the history of the game so quickly, but he's taken a step back, hasn't he, to some degree?
You know, it's easy to take people to task when you have access to the results. You know, we get the opportunity to talk about games on television, on radio, after the fact. Unfortunately, Bill Cowher didn't have access to the results when he had to make a decision, you know, to go to Charlie Batch or stay with Ben Roethlisberger. Coaches do not make those decisions in a vacuum. You know, they make them through what a player has done historically, through coach's evaluation, and when it comes to medical issues, through doctor's evaluations as well. So, you know, with the facts that Bill had in mind and that he had access to, he made a decision. Because it didn't work out doesn't mean it was the wrong decision. You know, so those are always difficult. It seems easy for us because we talk about it after these things have happened. But clearly when you look at Ben Roethlisberger, and I think, you know, there's enough blame to go around. Certainly, you know, Ben is a stand-up guy. You know, he will point to himself first and say he has to play better. But I think clearly when I look at the tape of what they're doing, I think they've gotten away from their identity. I think the Steelers are a solid defensive team. To be successful, they have to run the football effectively and mix in the play-action passing game. I think they've gotten away from the running game and become too resilient and dependent on the passing game. And when you're asking Ben Roethlisberger, still in an embryonic stage of his quarterback development, to throw the ball 40 to 50 times a game, I think you're going to end up with mistakes, and that's exactly what has happened.
So as they came back, they won a big game in New Orleans. Now I guess the bottom line is Bill has made that commitment, but it still looks as if they have changed their personality. Suddenly Jerome Bettis is out of the picture and they've forgotten about their running game. What would you advise Bill Cowher, putting you right on the hot seat here, in terms of positioning themselves for the same kind of run they had last year?
Well, it's going to be much more difficult because it looks like they're going to have to win a bunch of games right now, like 7 in a row. I don't think 9-7 will get them to the playoffs, and they have a very difficult schedule down the road. But I think we saw that identity coming back last week against the Saints. You know, they did run the football very well. Willie Parker did run the football inside as well as outside. He spread the defense sideline to sideline in the running game. When you do that, it opened up the Roethlisberger passing game. You saw the voids in the intermediate passing game because the linebackers were cheating up against the run. So clearly they got back to their identity of what they are, to run the football first and then set up the play action pass game. And that, you know, that blueprint has been successful for them in the past.
Well, we talked to Jim Kelly yesterday also about this tendency, and we've talked about it before with you, to almost overcoach. Here's Jim Kelly from yesterday's show.
I don't know about you, but Lenny or it doesn't matter what the situation is. Sometimes I feel that they put too much in quarterbacks' minds. I feel that sometimes you got to let quarterbacks just be quarterbacks and be the athletes they are. Let them on the field, and if they have a chance to get out of a play, let them get out of a play. Put them. His wrist too, and even I think I watched it the other day when he was up at the line of scrimmage, almost under the center, and he's looking at his wristband. I mean, you're supposed to be looking at the defense. What are you looking at your wristband for?
That's Jim Kelly. In other words, sorry about that disconnection for a second. Jim Kelly talking about the fact that there's too much. You got wristbands. You're looking at the wrong things. You think there's too much overcoaching?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the volume now that the quarterbacks and the offensive personnel have to understand and learn is absolutely amazing. You know, if you see the coaches on the side and now the play callers, you know, they used to be a kind of an index card. Then it grew to an 8x11 sheet. Now it's like a 2x3 game plan, color-coded, every situation that you could imagine in the course of a game, and they're calling plays. You now have the quarterbacks with the wristband, you know, that covers up their entire wrist to their elbow with plays on them. And then besides that, you now have the high-tech Motorola sound system where the coaches can talk to the quarterback in the huddle before he goes to the line of scrimmage. I mean, you talk about, you know, an overload of information. My God, they're making it very difficult to play the position.
Ron, we just got a couple minutes here, so now we'll go to the graduate level course, which is, of course, Peyton Manning. And the level that he is playing, the way that he looked going against that 3-4 New England defense and picked it apart, it was as if, and I know New England doesn't have quite the firepower that they may have had on defense before, but still, what is he able to do this year that is clearly at a level perhaps he's never played at?
Well, I think there's been a couple things this season that he hasn't done in the past. Number one, the mobility issue. You're starting to see Peyton Manning make plays outside the pocket. Movement within the pocket has always been his strength. Now you're seeing him forced with pressure up the middle to move outside the pocket and make plays. I think the other thing, he's becoming much more patient. Maybe it's with age. Who really knows? But now he's taking what the defense gives him. And the Buffalo game was a real-life example of that. He wasn't forcing the football into coverage. Clearly, Buffalo was determined to take away Reggie Wayne and Marvin Harrison, holding them to 6 catches in the game. Peyton did not try to force the football in there. When he had the opportunity to get the ball to them, he did, but he was patient. Of optimum importance to Peyton Manning is to win, period. He's not a stats guy. He's not a numbers guy. He just wants to win football games. So those are the two things that I've seen him improve upon this year.
Okay, last question, Professor of Passing, Ron Jaworski. Tom Brady seems to be forcing the ball even with a running game that's perhaps with Maroney more dominant than ever.
Well, I think when you look at Tom Brady and the New England offense, you look at receivers that are average at best. The windows he has to throw in are not the huge windows he's had in the past when he's had Givens and Branch. Right now, he's got receivers that, I know they played in mud on Sunday, but this receiving core often looks like they're playing in mud. Outside of Chad Jackson, they have very little speed at the wide receiver.
Well, that answers it all. Thanks for all the great work you do to help us understand the game, Ron Jaworski. Go back to that film lab, and we'll check in with you. The Einstein of the NFL, Ron Jaworski. Thanks, my friend.
Back to the lab, Nick. Thanks.
See you, buddy. There's a guy that puts... Talk about work ethic. We'll be right back with Marv Levy on quarterbacks and leadership. You're listening to Head Games on Sports Byline Network and Sirius Channel 122.
If you're self-employed or you run a small business and you need competitive health insurance, pick up the phone and call the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company. 866-503-MEGA. You don't even have to leave your home or office. Call us now and a friendly Mega Health representative will come to you and explain your health insurance options. So again, if you're self-employed, run a small business, or if you're on a COBRA plan and it's about to expire and you need dependable, reliable health insurance, call Mega Health now for a free quote. 866-503-MEGA. 866-503-MEGA. That's 866-503-MEGA. These competitive health insurance plans are underwritten by the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company, and coverage may not be available in all states, so call now and see if you qualify. 866-503-MEGA. 866-503-MEGA. That's 866-503-MEGA.
Hi, everybody. This is Nick Lowry, and I want to tell you about the most beautiful golf course I've ever played. It's called Quintero. It's already ranked in the top 10 in the country as a real estate golf course. I'm telling you, it is the most outstanding combination of beautiful fairways and views you will ever see. If you want to join one of the most outstanding new private courses in the country, go to QuinteroGolf.com or call 888-417-8468. That's 888-41-QUINT or 888-417-8468.
When other people say, sorry, sold out, Tickets Now says, where would you like to sit? You like to control your own destiny. You do what you want to do, and you go where you want to go. Why not sit where you want to sit? Tickets Now has the choice seats for every major sports, concert, and theater event in North America. From the 50-yard line to orchestra seats to courtside, Tickets Now has the seats you really want. With Tickets Now, buying tickets is easy. And each transaction is backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go to TicketsNow.com today, where the words sold out are not a part of our vocabulary. TicketsNow.com. That's TicketsNow.com. TicketsNow.com. TicketsNow.com.
If you're a fan of pro wrestling or someone who's always wondered what goes on behind the scenes, you can find out the inside stories, the scandals, and what's going to happen before it airs on television by subscribing to the Wrestling Observer newsletter. I'm Dave Meltzer, host of Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Radio Network, and the Observer is the publication read by the biggest stars and most influential people in wrestling to find out what's really happening. You can go to www.wrestlingobserver.com for information on how to subscribe, the current issue, and how you can get up to 2 free issues. And don't forget to join us every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on the Sports Byline Radio Network.
It takes the same thing to get to the Super Bowl and win that it takes to get there and lose.
You know, it's not the NBA where you got a seven-game series once you get in that in the final. You got to get it done that day.
And now, back to Head Games Radio with Nick Lowry. Join the conversation now by calling 800-878-PLAY. That's 800-878-7529.
I want to thank Ron Jaworski for joining us, and now a guy that understands leadership and building quarterbacks, not just because of systems, but teaching them leadership. Marv Levy, how are you?
Just fine, Nick. Always great to be with you.
Last time, of course, we check in with you about every month to see how things are going, and J.P. Lossman started off well. It's had some other issues as well. Give us a quick update on your perspective on this team and how it's fulfilling the development curve that you set for it.
Well, as you know, we're struggling. We're 3-6 right now. We've been in almost every game. We had one wipeout at the hands of the Chicago Bears earlier when we turned the ball over any number of times. Like most young quarterbacks, it takes a while to develop. Peyton Manning, I understand, threw 28 interceptions as a rookie, was 3-13. Troy Aikman was 1-15. We like the potential we see in J.P. Lossman. We like his character, his attitude, his work ethic, his intelligence. The cast around him has to get better. He has to get better. But it's something that we feel is heading in the right direction, Nick.
Well, we talked to Jim Kelly yesterday about the phenomenon of so many quarterbacks, and Lynn Dawson's talked about it so many, where they are overloaded with their plays on their wrist. They aren't allowed to call their own plays. And some, including Sam Huff yesterday, said, you know, the best thing that could ever happen is to take away that microphone in the helmet. How do you feel about that?
Sam Huff said that, Nick? Is that
Sam
what you said?
Huff.
I know Sam well from my days at the Washington Redskins, and he once again said something which I think is very astute. I agree. Simplify, and you will do better. I think coaches are carried away with, look at how big my playbook is. Teach what players can learn, very important.
Do you think that's a problem right now with our friend and my good friend Al Saunders, that the so-called 700-page playbook, now Washington decided and has announced that they're going to go away from Mark Brunell, that maybe, you know, in addition to matching the particular skill sets at each position, your quarterback's got to be comfortable. He can't always be thinking too much, and maybe that was Mark Brunell's problem?
Well, it could be. And, again, I just espouse my philosophy. I don't denigrate another fine coach's philosophy. They may disagree with me. It's just how I feel, and I don't say it critically of others who may be coaching in a different direction. Nevertheless, I have found, when you mentioned you spoke with Jim Kelly, we ran a so-called no-huddle offense, very few plays. He had command of them. Our linemen had command of their blocking assignments. We got repetition on those plays. People might say, yeah, but you don't create enough problems for the opponents. I think you do, more than you realize.
Well, you prevent them from substituting. So let's talk about that. What about just that simple thing, that suddenly in the age of specialization, the defense, the coordinators, all of that, they can't suddenly throw in three, four extra guys at the right time?
Well, Nick, you're talking to a guy who, and maybe it's because we ran it and ran it successfully, can't understand why that isn't the predominant offense in the NFL. You can't substitute. You can't communicate very well. Your defense gets tired. As I already told, some of the benefits that the no-huddle teams get, great repetition. Your practice is shortened. You have an understanding. What are the shortcomings then? You put your defense back on the field in a hurry because the no-huddle is fast-paced, and whether you score or whether you have to punt, your defense is back out there. But I think the benefits outweigh the difficulties.
Well, Jim Kelly spoke extremely highly of the way that you managed him, the way that you turned him loose. Here's his comment on Ben Roethlisberger and some of the dilemmas other quarterbacks in this league have to face.
A lot of plays on the wristbands. I talked to Roethlisberger. I see all the plays that are on his wrist, too. And even, I think I watched it the other day, when he was up at the line of scrimmage, almost under the center, and he's looking at his wristband. I mean, you're supposed to be looking at the defense. What are you looking at your wristband for? So, I don't know. You know, you always look at a guy like Brett Favre, and of course I admire what Peyton Manning has done the last few years and the type of quarterback he's become, probably one of the best. And I'm sure by the time he's done with this whole thing, he'll be one of the best ever to play the game, because he gets out of plays when he has to. He's almost like a coach on the field, and I'm sure that the other two gentlemen will agree with that, that when you're a quarterback, you should know the ins and outs of everything that's going on anyways and not have to have worry about somebody sending plays down into your ear every single play.
Marv Levy, that's our good friend Jim Kelly, and you saw what a difference that made to turn that offense loose. And let's look at a guy who's early in his career, tremendous expectations after only 9 games. I was surprised with the maturity with Rex Grossman, having been sacked early in the game, pounded by New York, found a way to get it done. And for that reason, I believe Rex Grossman and the Bears may have the character, may have what it takes to take it all the way. What do you think, having seen them and what they did to Buffalo?
Yeah, I have a very high regard for them. One of the things that allowed Rex Grossman to survive those early mistakes was a great defense and an outstanding kicking teams around him. You stay in the game even when you make a mistake. You know, if a turnover occurs early, you can't keep doing it. And your defense stiffens and keeps the opponent from scoring. You're not having to play come-from-behind football, and you have a chance to redeem yourself. I listened with great interest to Jim Kelly describe Peyton Manning. He was also, he didn't know it, was describing himself.
Yeah, he was, and we missed that. I think the reason that people admire Brady and Manning is that's the kind of leadership, because you can see them thinking on the field. Who are some of the other people? We just talked with Ron Jaworski about Phillip Rivers and the advantage when a Marty Schottenheimer could mold the leadership and the character of this man to bring it out, having the patience with the benefit of a Drew Brees, of course, who created that opportunity, but certainly the patience is to sit a number one draft pick for 2 years. Is there a strong argument that if general managers can have that patience, it will pay off?
Yeah, I adhere to that philosophy, Nick, very much. I think plunging them in right away, unless they are an unbelievably resilient young man, is going to expose them to failure and self-doubts and mistakes. I think bringing them along slowly. Joe Montana didn't play till late in his second year, for instance. Jim Kelly came here as a first-round draft, but he had played a couple of years in the USFL, and that certainly helped. And again, I mentioned Peyton Manning, 3-13 as a rookie. Aikman, 1-15 as a rookie. Terry Bradshaw, 1-13 back in a 14-game schedule as a rookie. So it takes a while.
Well, here's that same Sam Huff talking about the few quarterbacks that can call their own plays.
I mean, who in the world could call a play for Lenny Dawson? You know, I mean, it's kind of like saying to Pat Day, who rides a racehorse, say, Pat, you got to ride this horse this way. Well, a trainer that's never ridden a horse, you know, why should he tell Pat Day how to ride a horse? And that's just the way I think about it. The worst thing I think the NFL's ever done is put a radio in the quarterback's ear and make him stick with the play that is called from upstairs in the press box.
Marv, let's get back to you to our last 5 minutes on the show today. We really appreciate your joining us, knowing how busy you are. Now you're heading into the second half of the season when it's crunch time. It's cold up there and windy in Buffalo. You've got the home field advantage, but you know you've got to create that personality on the team. What are some of the things you have learned now that you're midway through this season, in terms of what are the most important decisions you have to make?
Well, you have to remain resilient. You have to know when to change and when to stay the course on things. You know you're going to get many suggestions. Oh, abandon this, put in this new guy, do that. And sometimes you don't want to be resistant to making a move when it's a wise move to make. And I don't want to relate this to politics, but it does, even there. But you also have to know when it's important to continue to develop what you've worked on. Resilience is one of the most important things that you must have in the National Football League, or really in, under any worthwhile undertaking.
And how do you do that? In other words, you're now having to let your head coach show that sort of character and through his example, because we know the best coaches essentially create a persona for the team that mirrors themselves.
Yeah. Well, first of all, it's very important. I was a related thing. People once said, how do you motivate your players? And I said, the answer to that is easy. You select, at this level, intrinsically motivated players. Well, if I'm looking for a coach that I want to install character and be a good teacher and all of that, that's the type of man you bring in, one who does have character, one who is level-headed, one who can handle difficulties. And he can convey that by his everyday demeanor and activity, not by a one speech or a big pep talk.
We talked with Boomer Esiason last Friday about Tom Brady, and because it's interesting to see the best teams, and of course New England is one of them, and how much they understand the inner workings and the potential of their players. Tom Brady obviously at the top end, along with Peyton Manning, of the capacity of a quarterback to affect everyone around him. And here's what he had to say about Scott Pioli and his insight into Tom Brady when everyone thought New England no longer had the firepower at their wide receiver position.
Change of pace, but Scott Pioli, the VP of personnel for the New England Patriots, I was giving him a whole lot of gruff before the game. So listen, number 12 is such a great player that I think you guys take him for granted. You got to give him some receivers, you know, that can be like, you know, Pro Bowlers and all this other stuff. I know he makes everybody better, and that's the true greatness of a great quarterback like a Peyton Manning and a Tom Brady. He said, Boomer, don't worry about it. Just calm down. We know what we're doing. And I said, yeah, I know you know what you're doing, but please get him a Pro Bowler next year, maybe in the draft or something. And then he comes out, and they don't even attempt to run it against Minnesota, and they move right down the field. And all of a sudden, Doug Gabriel, who was lost in Oakland, looks like he's the next coming of Jerry Rice, for crying out loud.
That's Boomer Esiason. So you have those rare individuals that are beyond the system, but it's also a Scott Pioli. It's those people in personnel, the general managers, that see the potential of those rare players that can do it. Tell me, what are you looking for? What are you able to do now, having been in the job now for quite some time this year? It's still not more than a year, but still, that is helping you in terms of evaluating your players and giving them the support they need to be the best.
Well, first of all, I say it again, ability without character will lose. I don't care how much ability. You don't want a guy with character, because that character involves the resilience that I'm talking about, because there are going to be some disappointments. You want a player who is unselfish. I don't want to confuse character with personality, Nick. I mean, you can be an extrovert. You can have a legitimate, boy, I'm happy when I make a big play, but not some contrived, I'm going to lie down in the end zone and I thought about this. What you should be thinking about is how to run your pass routes, not about what kind of, so that's an important aspect. Work ethic. Work ethic. Do you show up for work every day? Are you on time? Those are very important things. Those are the things that win over your teammates, that make your teammates proud to have you as a teammate. And then pretty soon it all pulls together. And you mentioned Gabriel performing so well with Tom Brady there. Good players make good players around them better. They are able to capitalize on the good qualities of their teammate.
Finally, Marv, once again, thanks so much for joining us. A team that has been going in one direction, Cincinnati, its defense has fallen apart with a head coach known for being one of the best defensive minds in the league. And I can't help but think that Cincinnati's off-the-field problems were an issue. And then you contrast that with Indianapolis that had the distraction, the tragedy at the end of the year. Last year, after starting 13-0, and they are back at it again. Is Indianapolis the team to beat? It's an easy question, but truly, to me, their ability to resist all of the distractions, to me, that's the great accomplishment of this season.
Are we talking about Indianapolis now?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and yes. I agree. The character starts right from the top. General manager Bill Polian, the Tony Dungy, right through the coaching staff, many of whom I know and have great respect for. What prevails in the team? I talk about great receivers. Probably, to me, the best receiver in the game right now is probably Marvin Harrison, but you don't hear that much about him because he's not self-promoting all over. He just shows up and plays, and he's an example of so many of the people on their team. Are they going to win every game? Always? No.
Marv, we wish the best of luck to you because we know that you're the right person at the right time for Buffalo. Wish you the best of luck, and we'll check in a few weeks, my friend. Thank you.
All right, Nick. Always a pleasure to talk with you.
Thank you, sir. You're listening to Head Games Radio on Sports Byline Network and Sirius Channel 122.
How would you like to cut your credit card payments by 30% or more? Genesis Financial can help. They have a program that can reduce your high interest rates to single digits or even 0%. You can get more cash in your pocket every month to ease the stress and burden of excessive credit card bills.
Genesis Financial helped us, so we can sleep at night again.
We can even answer our phone.
The weight's been lifted off our shoulders.
Working with Genesis, we truly feel like our prayers were answered.
Get a fresh start without going bankrupt, plus get hundreds of dollars back in your pocket. Call now for a free, no-obligation consultation. Let them show you how to cut your debt by 30% or more and save you thousands in interest, late fees, and penalties. The consultation is absolutely free. Call 800-470-4331. That's 800-470-4331. Don't wait another minute.
Genesis Financial gave us our life back.
Not available in all states. Individual results may vary. Genesis Financial, 800-470-4331.
Mr. Jackson, we're calling to say you're late on your credit card bill. Can you please call us to schedule a payment and avoid future late fees?
If you're getting collection calls from your credit card companies and you want to put a stop to it, gather your bills now and call the Debt Helpline.
Mr. Jackson, we've been trying to reach you. If we don't hear from you soon, your account will go into collections.
We can help you stop the late and over limit fees on most of your credit cards and reduce your high interest rates, in some cases up to 60%.
Mr. Jackson, this is our last warning call. The next call will be from our legal department.
Get your debt and credit card bills under control. Gather your bills and call today for a free consultation on how we can help you get out of debt. 800-981-7596. 800-981-7596. 800-981-7596.
Are you losing your hair? Is that bald spot getting bigger? Is your hair looking thinner? Why aren't you using Avacor, the hair growth treatment that's helped thousands of people just like you regrow their hair?
It's been 3 months now I've been on Avacor, and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old.
We're giving away a free month of Avacor with all of today's orders. Avacor is proven to successfully stop hair loss and regrow hair. Call 800-450-9743 for your risk-free trial of Avacor. Call now, 800-450-9743. All of today's orders will receive an additional month's supply of Avacor absolutely free.
Avacor really works. I just love it. It's like a miracle. I couldn't be happier.
Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. That's 800-450-9743. 800-450-9743.
Thanks for listening today. We want to thank Rick Bucher from ESPN The Magazine, Len Dawson, Sam Huff, Jim Kelly. Yesterday, today, Jim Beattie, Ron Jaworski, Marv Levy. Later this week, Solomon Wilcots from CBS, Seth Joyner, Merrill Hodge, listening to Head Games Radio at headgamesradio.com. Here's the final thought for today, which is on Marv Levy's theme of resiliency, from someone who you could call his greatest student.
And he said, everybody that's been in the Super Bowl stand up, so here I am sitting right beside Joe Montana. I feel it because, of course, everybody knows Joe won four, and I lost four, and I stand up beside him, and it's kind of ironic that you bring that up because Joe said, Jim, it doesn't matter. He said, to go there 4 years in a row, he says, that will never be done again. He said, the resiliency you guys had to be able to pull together as a team and being able to go back, he says, you should never, ever be ashamed of that. He said, there's a lot of great players out there that have never even been to a Super Bowl. And that was some of the things that I've always, you know, I look at. It's not so much, going against Dan Marino or John Elway. It's just being able to know that when things are down, it's what you're going to do about the leadership role. And I always tell people that it's the leaders are the ones that are able to pull your teammates together when things are not going well and being able to pull them out of that so-called funk. So for us, it's just going there. And I know, I don't know if Sam knows Coach Levy very well, but this is one of the ones where I know Lenny knows Coach Levy, but this is one guy that, when it came down to it, he knew exactly what to say and when to say it. He wasn't the rah-rah guy that's going to get in your face, but he always had the right things to say at the right time to get us ready for a football game and to get us ready for another season.
That's Jim Kelly talking about Marv Levy, who was just our guest. Who are the teams that have had the most resiliency in the NFL so far this year? Well, I think they're Chicago, and I think they're Indianapolis, and I think that's why, for that reason, right now, at this moment in time, those are my picks for the Super Bowl. Thanks for listening to Head Games Radio. Check out headgamesradio.com. We'll see you tomorrow. You're listening to Head Games on the Sports Byline USA Network and Sirius Channel 122.